pay for chase.
So this is abstract number one. Effect of a strategy of supraglottic airway device versus tracheal intubation during out-of-hospital cardiac arrest on functional outcome. The Airways 2 randomized clinical trial. And this by Benger et al. From JAMA. So overall, outcomes from out-of-hospital cardiac arrest are not great. And one of the things we talk about a lot is sort of a place, one specific part of that out-of-hospital cardiac arrest we could do things differently, maybe a little bit better, is airway. Right, there's another one, drugs, which Mike is going to talk about in abstract number two.
Oh, I'm going to talk about airway too, but go ahead.
So there are many places, Los Angeles included, in which if there's a pediatric patient with out-of-hospital cardiac arrest, these are basically just bag-and-go situations, right? They don't intubate, they don't stop. Now, in observational studies looking at adult airways with more than 100,000 patients in them, there is a suggestion that bag valve mask might be superior to intubation. But now we live in a world where supraglottic tools are available, right? And these have the advantage of being simpler, faster, and requiring less training and practice to really get done right. Now, the objective of this trial was to estimate the between-group difference in modified Rankine scale score at 30 days after out-of-hospital cardiac arrest or discharge after an out-of-hospital cardiac arrest based on what airway type they got in the field. Okay. Now, this was run across four large EMS systems in England. Now, they sort of said in their methods, a little bit of an explanation, that they felt pausing in real time to do randomization, like right before the airway occurred, sort of in the middle of a code, was just not feasible to accomplish. So they conducted a cluster randomized trial. So the paramedics were the clusters, right? Not the EMS systems or base stations or anything like that. So the paramedics themselves were randomized to always using supraglottic airways or always using endotracheal airways. Does that make sense?
Sort of.
Yeah.
It's a weird method.
It's a very strange method. They did build in some stratifications up front when they randomized the paramedics to make sure that sort of like all the experienced paramedics didn't get randomized to one group or something like that. But it's definitely a weird way to do this. And we have covered lots of studies where they sort of randomize in the millisecond at real time.
Like the next study we're going to.
So that's a bit strange up front. But basically, they were randomized to and trained either to the supraglottic airway, basically an LMA. Or endotracheal intubation. And their method of endotracheal intubation suggested anyway was direct laryngoscopy with a bougie. So that's what they were supposed to do. They had 1,523 paramedics who got recruited and randomized, and they treated / enrolled over 9,000 out-of-hospital cardiac arrests. Now, the primary outcome, right, the good modified Rankine score, the 0 to 3, occurred in 6.4% of the LMA group and 6.8% of the endotracheal group.
No difference.
Initial ventilation was successful in 87.4% of the LMA group versus 79% of the endotracheal group. So they did do it a little bit better using the LMA. Mm-hmm. Interestingly, patients managed by the endotracheal paramedics were less likely to get an advanced airway placed in the field. So 77% of them, the ones who were trained to do advanced airway or endotracheal advanced airways in codes, actually got an airway placed versus almost 86% in the ones who were always using LMAs.
Okay.
Now, they looked at a few airway complications like regurgitation, aspiration, which were not different and very, very small. Now, although it's buried a little bit in the tables, it looks to me like patients who got no advanced airway in the field, so a real scoop and go, they went there, for whatever reason, they picked them up and took them.
And you mean like nothing, bag valve mask.
Bag valve mask. Did much better than those who got either the LMA or the endotracheal intubation. So 21% good outcome in that group versus 3% in the ones who got any airway.
That's just because they woke up. They got shocked and they were like, I'm fine. Don't intubate me.
That's probably right. Or is it like an incredibly short transport time? They said, let's just go. Or they weren't so that fat. Sick. It could Such be a high... variety of things. Yeah. So, you know, this study obviously has a few limitations. The study cohort includes patients that did not get an advanced airway, and we don't really know why. Right? Like maybe they weren't that sick at all, the ones who didn't get an airway. Like Mike said, maybe they got shocked in a V-fib and were totally fine, mm-hmm. right? And that's the arrest we'd like to see, at least the one that comes back a lot. Now, there may have been big differences in other management between the groups too, right? And there was, when they looked at this a little bit, what medications they got on arrival to the ED, if they got therapeutic hypothermia, if you believe in that at all, their out-of-hospital cardiac arrest etiology wasn't reported. So they may have been very different groups. Now, although it looks equivalent on its face, I think if you really get into the depths, the sort of details of this one, there might be a different story. The per protocol groups, which weren't discussed, looked different. So if you look at who actually sort of got the airway, in the intubation group, those who actually got intubated had a survival of 3.1%. But in that intubation group, those who actually got an LMA, so they went off protocol and did something different that they weren't supposed to do, had a survival of 6.4%. And in the LMA group, those who got the LMA like they were supposed to had a survival of 5.4%, but those who got an endotracheal intubation, for whatever reason, we don't know, even they're supposed to get LMA, had a survival of 3.5%. Now, I don't really know how to explain this, but there is a little bit of a difference there. And I think overall, this is a large randomized controlled trial that suggests, although the initial airway management with LMA didn't improve good neurologic outcome after out-of-hospital cardiac arrest in the intent-to-treat analysis, it certainly didn't make it any worse. And to me, it seems to be a lot easier to use and probably much faster, although they didn't measure this, right? The paramedics, it seemed, were certainly more eager to do it. You know, those who were in the LMA group used it more.
Yeah,
they're
more likely to get it done. Yeah,
so I don't think it tells us either, sort of, if either one of these two is better than a pure scoop and run. Right, we don't know that based on this data, and we don't know what to do when they come to the ED. Like, should we leave in their functioning LMA or replace it? You know, I tend to lean towards LMA for these EMS providers, pre-hospital providers. I think if they're equivalent, it's definitely going to be faster and seems to be more likely used, and they can use that extra time to focus on other good things like providing high-quality CPR and getting them to an emergency department.
In patients with out-of-hospital cardiac arrest, there was no difference in survival with good neurologic outcome, regardless of supraglottic airway or tracheal intubation. However, the supraglottic airway is easier to place, more likely to be successful, and not more likely to lead to regurgitation or aspiration.